We thank you, bless you, and praise you for your word, God. We thank you for the truth of the word, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that it's time for the church, Lord, to make a statement and to break loose and to break out. And so we just give you honor and glory and thank you, Father God, that your word is what gives us the power to be what you want us to be. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Open up your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Simply says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Notice that. It says, listen, we cannot get weary with what we're doing. We've got to keep on doing what God wants us to do. We cannot get weary. Say, I can't get weary. Notice that in due season, you're going to reap if you don't faint. What's that mean? Well, if I don't get weak, I don't get to the place to where I just give up and want to quit. Now, we got to keep pressing, especially now. Come on, church, listen, the devil's working overtime. And so the church, that means we got to be that much stronger. Right? Come on. Now, we can't just, as the church, we can't just sit back and just watch what the devil does and just say, well, boy, that's awful. Right? That's a shame. I don't know how he can get away with that. The way he gets away with it is by the church just sitting around doing nothing. Come on. We have the greatest weapon at our disposal that there ever was. You know what that is? Prayer. Prayer. Now, when I say prayer, I'm not just talking about now I lay me down to sleep. I'm talking about a prayer of authority where you're pulling down strongholds, where you're commanding things to be bound here on earth so that they're bound in heaven, so that you're using your authority as a believer to make sure that you're putting the devil in his place. And you say, well, I just don't know, well, you know, what can I do about this or what can I do about that? Do you understand that the Bible teaches us that it's not flesh and blood that you and I are wrestling against. So when you see flesh and blood doing stupid things, doing devil things, doing ungodly things, come on now. When you see flesh and blood operating in the kingdom of darkness, then you have to understand that you have a greater authority over that darkness than anybody else on this earth. You've got to understand that the greater one lives in you, right? The greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So when you see them operating in ungodliness, when you see them operating in darkness, when you see them operating by the power of the devil, then that's your time as the church to stand up and not get weary in well-doing, but begin to declare and to decree and to stop the mouth of the enemy. Come on. That's what the church is here to do. We're to have dominion over this earth. And you have dominion over demonic spirits. Amen. So the church has got to start, instead of just sitting back and in amazement at what all is going on, we've got to begin to stand up and stop what the enemy's doing. Through prayer, through decreeing, through declaring. Come on. By using our faith, that's what the church is here to do. We have to be the ones that are standing and not getting weary in our well-doing. Come on now. Notice it says that we will reap if we don't faint. Don't give up. Don't quit. Right? It shall come to pass. How many knows that? Come on now. You see, the only way we don't win is if we quit. If we give up. Come on now. The devil has no power over us. He cannot defeat us. We are the winners already. But if you give up and quit, it's over. Come on now. You see, here's the thing. You know, in sports, there's always teams in that really dominate, usually, in about every sport. If the dominant team gives up and quits and says, we're not going to play this game, guess what they do? They forfeit that game to whoever they were going to play, even if it was the worst team in the league that they were playing against. How many knows the devil's the worst team in the league? Come on now. You have power and authority over him. The only way he wins is if you forfeit, if you quit, if you give up. You have to keep pressing. It's time for the church to begin to rise up and begin to break out of this attitude that, what am I going to do? Poor little old us. You're not poor little. You're a mighty army of God. Come on, sons and daughters of God. You were anointed for such a time as this. Did you know that? God has called you to be part of this army that's standing up and declaring. Listen, the Bible teaches us that the Antichrist can't come till we're gone. Come on, think about that. We cannot. The devil's strongest advocate, his number one hero, his number one champion, his number one guy, can't even come on the scene till after the church is gone. Come on, what's that tell you? That tells you that it's the power of God that holds order in this earth. And the power of God working through the church that holds order in this earth. Did you hear me? Working through believers like you and I. So there's no place for us to get weary. There's no place for us to faint. There's no place for us to stop and just quit. We've got to keep right on pushing, you know. And you hear people all the time saying, well, you know, I'll tell you, things are really, really just, they're just real bad. But you've got to understand, we serve a God that'll take care of us. Amen. We serve a God that supplies every need that we have. We serve a God that's given us all things that pertain to this life and godliness. Come on. That's the God we serve. When you get over here and look in Isaiah, go with me, Isaiah 61. Let's jump over there. Let me read something over here. Isaiah 61. This is Isaiah saying what Jesus repeated in the New Testament in Luke chapter 4. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Are you listening to what it says? Come on now. We got nothing to be mourning about. He's going to give you the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Do you see that? God gets glorified when the church starts raising up. He goes on and says, and they shall build their old waste places. Notice that. They'll build the old waste places. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. Listen. It's time for the church to break out of where they're at and begin to restore what we've had. Come on now. We've let the devil have enough ground. Now it's time to take it back. Come on. You say, well, I don't want something the devil's already. Listen, when you get a hold of it, it's blessed. Come on now. It's time for us to take back some things. Notice, and it said, strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Come on. Do you get that? Stranger's going to stand and feed your flock. In other words, I don't got to feed my cows. Somebody's going to feed them for me. Come on now. That's what God says. Isn't that what your Bible says? Strangers are going to stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Do you see that? The sons of the... See, they folks think that they got people coming in here for votes, but they just got them in here to come and serve us. I know you don't like that. That's okay. But I'm just telling you, it's the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. For your shame you shall have double, and for your confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double, everlasting joy shall be unto them. Look at that. Listen, I don't know about you, but what it says to me is God's given me double for my trouble. Come on, have you ever read in the Word of God where God gave Job double? Remember that? Let me read it to you, Job 42:10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Did you see that? What happened to Job? Well, the devil attacked, remember? When he came after him, what happened? He took everything he had, basically. Killed all of his kids, took all of his crops, took all of his livestock, took everything. But God restored him double. Did you notice here that it said the Lord turned the captivity of Job? God called the devil's tax against Job captivity. Anybody see that? He called it captivity. Well, you know, I mean, captivity's being locked up. It's time for the church to have a prison break. It's time for us to break out and get out of our captivity. Come on, somebody. How did Job get out of his captivity? He prayed for his friends. Come on now. What happens if the church starts praying? We're breaking out of captivity. We're getting out from under the attacks of the devil because we are standing and taking our rightful place as the sons and the daughters of God, the rightful rulers of this earth. Amen. Think about it for a minute. That's who you really are. That God never intended for the devil to be having dominion right now. Amen. He never intended for him to have his season. That was because Adam messed up. Come on now. I mean, the Lord knew it was going to happen, but here's the thing. God intended Adam, mankind, to rule and reign right on through. Come on now. Adam forfeited his rights because he disobeyed God. And because of that, we're all still under this dispensation right now of the enemy being the god of this world. But you know what? Because Jesus Christ went to the cross, and because he was placed in the tomb, and because he went into hell and defeated Satan and brought out the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Come on, somebody. You see, Jesus brought us out of that captivity. So we, as the children of God, are no longer subject to the enemy, even though he is the god of this world. But see, we're not of this world. We're of the kingdom of God now. Now, he's still affecting this world because that's what he does. But you and I do not have to let him affect us. Come on now. See, I know that when we start talking about that, people get aggravated. But here's the thing. He's not my daddy. Come on now. He's not your daddy, is he? Come on. No. God is my father. He's my daddy. He's the one I hearken to. He's the one that I obey. He's the one that tells me what I do. Come on, Jesus, our elder brother, said, I only do what my Father tells me to do, and I only say what my Father tells me to say. Amen. We ought to be doing the same thing. Because we're the same children of God. Come on now. We've been made heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, He is our Savior. I'm not trying to lessen that in any way. But what I'm trying to do, instead of trying to bring Jesus down, what I'm trying to do is get you to come up. Did you hear me? I'm trying to get you to start thinking the way Jesus wants you to think, to have the mind of Christ. Come on now. The Bible tells you and I that we have been seated in heavenly places in Christ. Did you hear me? Those seated in heavenly places, that's in Christ, at the right hand of the Father, in a place of authority. But you see, we like to listen to what the world says, and we like to act like we don't have any authority, but God gave you authority. The Lord Jesus Himself said this as He was leaving. He said, Behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Right? When he's there giving out the Great Commission, He said, All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go you therefore. Right? Go ye therefore and teach all nations all the things that I've done. Right? What was he doing? He was deputizing us. He was anointing us. He was passing the torch to the church, to believers, telling us that we need to stand up and begin to take authority. If all power had been given to him, he's saying, here, you take this power now and you go out and you rule, you reign, you have dominion upon the earth, just like I told Adam and Eve to do. Amen. But you see, we don't get a hold of that. We'd rather stay in our little cocoon and not try to break out, because if I get out here, that's going to cause me to be, you know, in a place of where I'm not comfortable. Right? If I stand up for God, then, you know, somebody might say something, might hurt my feelings. Come on, we're not part of the powder puff society. Come on, we're the sons and daughters of God. Did you hear me? We're the anointed ones. We're the called out ones. That's what the Word says, right? You know, sometimes, you know, the church tries to act humble, but the truth is, it's not humility. It's false humility. And sometimes it's right down fear. But we have to get past that. We've got to break out of all that stuff and say, you know what? I have been called of God. Have you not been called of God? Come on, you're a child of God. If you're a born-again child of God, then you have been called of God. Matter of fact, you're an ambassador of God. An ambassador has authority, right? And we need to be taking that authority. Here it says that God wants to give us double for our trouble, just like He gave Job, because we've got to realize, I got to get out of this thing. I got to get out of this captivity mentality. Right? We got to break out of depression. Come on. See, so many folks are in depression, worried, and anxiety, you know, and then they got medicine for that, of course. Right? Got medicine to make you a little bit more crazier. Come on, to mess you up just a little bit more. Try to make a zombie out of you. That way you can't even praise God. You're just going around the world in a daze. No, we need to break out of depression. Has got to be broken by the power of God. Amen. Not by some kind of medicine that's just going to cause you to get in worse shape. You know, we got to get out of this attitude, got to break out of the attitude. Well, that'll never happen for me. Yes, it will. If God did it for one, He'll do it for you. He's not a respecter of persons, but you've got to see it happening in your life. You've got to decide it's going to happen in your life, right? We got to get away from this prisoner mentality. What are you talking about, prisoner mentality? Well, you know, most folks, you know, they'll say, you know, if we can just hold on and hold out to the end, you know, basically, if we can just serve our sentence here on this earth, right? If we just do our time here, it'll be worth it after all one of these days. That's not what God wants for you and I. Come on, we need to have that attitude that there ain't no prison on earth that can hold us. Amen. Come on, the devil don't have any device. He don't have any kind of vice. He don't have any kind of thing that can hold a child of God. Come on, because there's great power on the inside of us, and that power is what gives you and I the ability to break free from anything the devil would try to do. Amen. But you got to see you got it, and you got to understand I've got it, and I'm not going to get caught. I'm not going to get settled into this. I'm not going to let the devil hold me captive. I am free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. And it's an attitude. You can't let that to happen to you, because if you settle into the getting into where you're saying, well, you know, look like the devil won this one. He may hit you, and he may hit you hard, but that don't mean he won. Come on, you still win. Hallelujah. Right? Come on, and you've got to understand that. Now, jump over here with me to Psalm 37. Let's read this over here. Psalm 37. And let's look verse 23. Okay? We're talking about breaking out and being what we need to be. Notice here verse 23. The steps of a good man Or are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Well, I'm going to stop there just a minute. The steps of a good person, the steps of a righteous person, are ordered of the Lord. Notice that? Your steps have been ordered of the Lord, and notice, He delighteth in His way. Come on, think about it for a minute now. What He's saying here is God has ordered your path, and you ought to be delighting in that path. Right? The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Most of the church is not very delightful. Right? Come on, matter of fact, sometimes the churches, when you look at them, they look like the most down and out, depressed people you ever saw in your life. Right? Got nothing to be happy about, nothing to be excited about. Listen, number one, you're on your way to heaven. That ought to be enough to make a shout all day long. Come on now, we don't have to go to hell. But number two, we understand to know that God has given us and blessed us with all things. Right? All of His promises are yes and amen to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to get excited about that. Now here we're reading, not only has He given us all this stuff, but He's given us a path to walk. And He says, as we are, those steps that have been ordered ought to make us delight. Come on. We ought to get excited about being a child of God. Excited that you get to come to church on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Amen. That's one of the steps of the Lord that's ordered of you. Do you know that? Going to church. Right? Come on, that's ordered of the Lord, by the way. Right? Forsake not the assembly of yourself together, the manner of some is, right? That's ordered of the Lord. A lot of people need to get a hold of the Word, read the Word, and obey the Word. Come on now. Notice that it don't say, you know, the ball game down the road is ordered of the Lord. Don't get mad at me now because I'm preaching good. Whatever other thing is that keeps you from coming to church, that's not the steps the Lord ordered for you. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, a righteous person, right? Though he fall, look at verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Notice, who are we talking about here? We're talking about the steps of a good man. A good man, though he fall, he'll not utterly be destroyed. Listen, we're going to mess up from time to time, but God's hand is right there to hold us up when we mess up. Isn't that good news? We're human beings. We're not perfect, but we are born again. We are anointed. We are God's children. Come on now. Yeah, have you ever watched these daddies and they're walking around here maybe with their kids and they're walking and all of a sudden one of them will trip up and fall? What's daddy do? Daddy walks over and reaches his hand down and says, come on now, get up. Right? Because that's what daddies do. Our daddy says, if we fall, he's going to get us up. Come on. That's something to be excited about right there. He won't leave you utterly cast down. He won't leave you on the dirt. He'll pick you up and dust you off and say, here, now try it again. Come on, that's what a daddy does. And that's what he says. It says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is what? Blessed. Do you see that? His seed is blessed. Notice he said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken. Any righteous people in here tonight? Well, if you're a born-again child of God, you're righteous because you've been made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken, and notice that, nor is seed begging for bread. What's that mean? That means he said, what he's saying is this, God has always provided for the righteous, and he's always provided for the righteous's seed. In other words, God will provide for us, and he will provide for our children. As long as we stay in God, as long as we're with God, as long as we're putting God first. So, you know, here's the thing. If we really want to break out of all this negativity and all this thing, if we really want to enjoy this life, we kind of got two choices. Okay? You can decide that you're going to stay depressed and stay in your captivity. One of my favorite stories, and I'll read it to you here, and you hear it from me a lot, but I want you to hear this. Psalm 137, verses 1 through 4. by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I'm just too depressed to praise God. How could I do that with all I'm going through? Right? They might as well have went, nobody knows a trouble of it. Right? That's the way they sound, isn't it? You know, we're down here, we're in captivity, and the ones that brought us captive, they want us to be happy, they want us to be mirth, they want us to sing one of the songs of Zion. But how could we sing a song of Zion when we're in this strain? How could we do that with the shape we're in? And that's the way the church is a lot of times. We come in here and say, well, how could we praise it? How can you expect us to jump around, Pastor? How could you expect us to clap our hands and run and jump? You don't know what a week I've had. No, but I know what Jesus went through so that you could get here. Come on, you ain't been through that yet. You ain't had spikes nailed in your hands and your feet and been hung on a cross. Come on now. You know, but they act like, a lot of the church acts like they have. Right? I was laughing with Brother Chris, who he's recently changed positions on his job where he's on night shift now, and he works all night Saturday night, and then he's here on Sunday morning for church. I said he works all night Saturday night and he's here on Sunday morning for church. Let me say that one more time. He works all night Saturday night and then he's here on Sunday morning for church, and he's here early by 9:30 for praise and worship practice. Now, see, I can relate to him because I told him I've been there and done that. I know what it's like to work all night on Saturday night and come in and go to church and then have to go back out on Sunday night too. Now you say, well, why are you saying that? I'm saying that because we have a lot of folk, you know, that want to be over in this group here, you know. Well, how could I go to church? I never got into bed till 2 o'clock. Right? See, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You can sleep to 9 o'clock and get 7 hours. You probably don't get that much through the week when you go to work. But you can't make it to church by 11. How could we get up and be in church like that after we set up this late? I didn't know the race was going to go into another tiebreaker. Right? Come on now. I mean, you know, we act like, if any little thing happens to us, we just can't praise God. You know, it's just, how could we do that? I mean, we're just going through all this. I mean, you know. God understands where I'm at. I'm sure He does. He knows exactly where you're at, and that's the problem. That's what's got you in trouble, because He knows exactly where you're at. See, because God sees through all that facade. And He knows the truth is you just don't want to come. You just don't want to do it. Right? They were just so depressed. They said, how? And so you can be part of that group if you want to, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're part of that group, you're not going to enjoy life much. Because if you have to be happy to praise God, you're in trouble. Because there are going to be a lot of times that you need to praise God because you're not happy. Matter of fact, there's times you need to praise yourself happy. Come on now. I mean, think about it. When Paul appeared before King Agrippa, he was a prisoner. And when he was given the chance to give an account for himself, he says, I think myself happy to be here today. He didn't say, you know, King Agrippa, I've been through this, I've been through shipwreck, he didn't start naming all of his troubles. He just said, I'm happy. I'm happy to get to be here and tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be happy to get to go to church on Sunday, happy to get to go on Wednesday, happy to come into a church that likes to praise God. Come on, happy to be able to go into a place that lifts up God and lifts you up, and not, you know, we're not having a funeral. Come on, we're not singing those old sad, dead songs that make you want to cry an earthly sorrow. But we're singing songs about Jesus, to praise Jesus, to lift Him up and to lift us up. But now you can be part of that group if you want to, or you can be part of this group. Acts chapter 16, verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against him, talking about Paul and Silas. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Sound to me like somebody going through something right there, right? Now understand, they're going through this because they cast out an unclean spirit. A fortune-telling spirit out of a lady. They cast out a devil out of somebody, and this is what they get in return for it. Okay? But look at verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Notice they didn't care. Some folk, even church, won't sing out. Listen, that's your time to shine. When we're all singing together, just sing it out. Now, you know, your neighbor moves out in front of you. You know why? Right? No. At midnight, they prayed and sang praises, and the prisoners heard them. They weren't quiet about it. They were praising God loudly. See, some folk get mad when you praise loud. You ought not do that. You shouldn't be that loud. My goodness. Well, your problem is you got too much pride to be loud. Come on. We ought to praise Him loud because He's done a lot for us. At midnight, they prayed and sang praises and the prisoners heard them. Let's read on just a little bit more here. Now, and suddenly, I love suddenlies from God, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Notice that. Because they weren't ashamed. The first bunch, see, they just couldn't praise because of their conditions. And here sits Paul and Silas, been beaten, thrown to the inner prison. Their feet are bound up in stocks. And they're praising and singing and blessing the Lord. So loudly that the prisoners hear them. So loudly that heaven hears them, and all of a sudden the place starts shaking and all the doors fly open and everybody's set free. You know what the result of that was? The jailer got saved. His family got saved. And Paul and Silas got justified because the people that threw them in tried to get rid of them quietly. And they said, See, that's where the church ought to be. You've been trying to tell us to shut up when it comes to abortion, but you're wrong and we're right. You've been telling us to shut up when it comes to all this homosexuality junk, but you're wrong and we're right. You say, well, how do you know you're right, preacher? Because I got the Word of God to back me up. Come on. You see. So they said, no, you wronged us. You did this openly and publicly. You come back up here and you talk to us and you let everybody know you were wrong. Come on. What brought all that about? Paul and Silas praising God and praying loudly so everybody could hear. So you see, if we're going to enjoy this, we've got to break out of this attitude, you know, of how bad we've got it and how bad things are. You can look around and tell it. But you know, the thing about it is, if you read the Word of God, it's going to get bad. The world's going to get bad, right? It's going to wax worse and worse, the Bible says. But that don't mean we have to be bad. It don't mean we have to be sad. Don't mean we have to be down and out. Why? Because we're not of the world. We're of the kingdom of God. Sons and daughters of God that need to be breaking out of this mentality that we're just like everybody else. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not like everybody else. You need to tell somebody, you're not like everybody else. You're an anointed man or woman of God. Come on now. You know, now if you want to be like everybody else, you can. Because all you've got to do to be like the world is just do nothing. But if you want to be a God child, if you want to be a God child, then you've got to start acting different,
Amen.
Talking different, thinking different, and don't allow the enemy to be ruling and reigning over you. You begin to tell him where to get off and what to do. Time for the church to break out of this thing. Now, it's time for us to start standing up and saying, you know what, enough's enough.
Yeah.
You've had your little party, and now it's time for it to stop.
Right.
It's time for it to end. It's time for us to have a little roundup, and when a bunch of devils are going to, you're all going to come under submission, because we're going to stand and take our authority, and we're going to start to rule and reign, and our rights and our privileges are going to start to come to pass here on this earth, not what the devil wants. But it's going to be up to us to break out of the way we've been thinking and say, you know what? I'm going to start thinking like God thinks. Come on. I know that's you know, that's just ludicrous. Yeah, you have to understand, you were created to do that. Think about it in the world, how much of your brain are you using? I mean, it's a scientific fact. You're only using a small part of your brain in this world. What happens if we open up our brain to the supernatural? We open up our brain to the spirit realm and we say, God, you gave me a big brain. I'm just using a small little bit of it here on this earth. But I want to open myself up to where you can give me ideas and suggestions. I want to open myself up to where I can start thinking like you think, talking like you think, saying the things you say. Well, I couldn't do that. Well, you got the Word of God that says you can. Amen. But it's up to you to choose to get out of where we're at now and move on into where God wants us to be. Anybody ready to do that? Come on, stand to your feet. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we want to be more like you. We want to act like you, talk like you, think like you.